to you by Green Thumb Nurseries, United Rentals, Kelly Banks Tree Service, Peters True Value Hardware. Sharpen your shovels and let's get outside.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and good morning, Larry Glass. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. It looks like we might get wet a little bit later on today, according to the National Weather Service.
They're very confident in their prediction for us getting rain. So,
Barry. Have you caught up from the last rain, Larry?
No.
This, you know, Larry is the most energetic man I know, and he's in great shape. But today, you come in kind of smiling, and I can just tell right now you're going, hey, I could really probably use a nap.
Well, yeah, we've been really...
You've been really...
Really
hopping.
After it this last week to progress on our schedule, and we've done pretty well. We've gotten some things out of the way, more things on the horizon.
Oh, well.
So it's good, and golly, I guess when you do a good job, people want you.
Yeah. Can you come over here and fix what the other people didn't do right, Larry?
Well, I did some of that this week, irrigation repairs. I did and a lighting repair. I was at a house, and two people previous could not figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I got my little wire tracer out, and oh, there it is. Beep. Dug it up and repaired it, working fine.
Good.
So I've learned a few things in doing this.
I guess. What we got going on today here on the
golly.
Green Country Gardener Show?
Things are changing in the landscape as summer progresses and I get into the heat of things right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with that goes the little nasty little insect things. The little bugs, yeah. And we've experienced some bagworm issues on the junipers.
Mm-hmm.
And also some tent caterpillars. You have to distinguish between bagworms and tent caterpillars. They get confused.
Yeah. Some people see what they think is a bag on a tree. And
yeah,
it's
so
kind
it's
of
a bagworm
tent.
On the tree. What? Yeah, use this stuff. It didn't kill him. That's not a bagworm. It's a tent caterpillar.
Tent caterpillar.
But anyway, for the tent caterpillars, simply just some soapy water will be a very effective control. If you see them up in the tree and you get a little hose and nozzle thing, you can put some soap in it and just spray it up there. And if you get a little bit on you, so what? You probably need a bath anyway.
You've been outside. You're going to stink.
So anyway, so that could be done. It's kind of the same thing for mites, too, spider mites. The reason why this works is that the insect physiology, they breathe through their skin.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have lungs and noses, and they don't have neti pots and stuff like that to keep their nose clean because they don't have a nose.
No need for Novage.
So they breathe through their skin. And what that does is effectively plugs up their ability to breathe and they suffocate. So anyway, so soapy water works rather well. We do have some other solutions. The summer oil works rather well. For the tent caterpillars, BT works rather well, and also for the bagworms.
Mm-hmm.
See, even I have a hard time keeping it straight, which is which. So
I'm here for you, man.
For both of them, the BT works rather well.
Mm-hmm.
So there, you can have a twofold approach, where perhaps you put some soap in with your BT.
Mm-hmm.
Not only will it help it stick to the branch and mm-hmm. stay on there, but it'll also smother the little critters, and if they don't get smothered, they go eating the stuff, and it'll get them that way.
Yeah, two ways.
So that's a cool way to do it there. So fertilize your Bermuda grass. Today would be an opportune time. Of course, every time I do that, it doesn't rain. So I need to get out there while it's raining and put a little umbrella on my spreader.
I'm going to give you a pro tip. 3:45, you'll be golden, man.
Yeah, be out watering my yard. Yeah, that's for sure. However, so it is time for Bermuda and Zoysia grass.
Yeah, yep.
If it doesn't have the color you want, chances are it probably needs fertilizer. And I see this a lot. People have these yellowish lawns, and they're along the road or along the sidewalk, there's these green spots where people walk their dogs. Says right away you need a little nitrogen.
No, okay.
So look for that color on there. Also, an extra boost of iron will help it darken the green color too. Mm-hmm. I was at a house yesterday. We did an irrigation repair, and I said, "Your yard is noticeably green to the neighbors. Noticeably more green." Mm-hmm. He said, "Well, I just fertilize it with iron. You know, fertilize it. What you tell me to." Okay, fine. And he had the most beautiful floriferous.
Yes,
lots of flowers. Yeah. Hydrangeas. And I said, "What do you do to your hydrangeas to make them bloom like this?" So I can pass it on to my customers and my radio listeners. He says, "Nothing."
I said, "You're a big,
big help, aren't you?" He says, "No, really." He lives in a part of town where the soil is amongst the worst. Uh-huh. I mean, I know that from digging up the backyard. It's mm-hmm. rock. But on the surface of the soil, it's this very loose or kind of topsoil mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Really nice, easy to work, loose soil. Mm-hmm. And that probably explains why the hydrangeas are doing well, is because their root system has extended out into this soil.
I see.
And it takes a big root system to feed all that stuff on the mm-hmm. hydrangea plant. Yeah. On the hydrangea plant. It takes an awful lot of root system. And you really need to prepare the soil real well prior to planting them. Uh-huh. And that goes for the Bobo hydrangeas, too. We plant them for somebody. We do a big, big ground prep around it rather than just kind of cork it in the ground.
There you go.
Because the one thing they don't like is the clay soil.
No.
So give a lot of organic soil. They should do very well. These hydrangeas were also in the full open sun. Mm-hmm. So hydrangeas aren't necessarily shade requiring. There's a difference between requiring and tolerant. Mm-hmm. They can tolerate the shade, but they require maybe a bit more sun than what people think they do.
So they can photosynthesize.
Exactly. You got it. So anyway, so that's kind of a little experience I had yesterday. The excessive rain is causing some problems with some plants. We're getting, and this is very rare, but we're getting some shot hole on the azaleas.
Really?
Yeah. Shot hole is a fungus disease that causes this Swiss cheese effect of the leaves.
Looks like somebody shot a hole in them.
Exactly, with mm-hmm. a shotgun. Uh-huh. And typically it attacks members of the Prunus family, such as the laurels, the Autolucans laurel, the skip laurels. They get shot hole really bad. And cherry laurels, mm-hmm. to a point, get it pretty bad. And it's a disease that happens when we have a whole lot of moisture. Mm-hmm. And this is crossing over into the azaleas, too. So if you have little holes on there, it's just a shot hole disease. It's nothing really serious. So if you see it, it's too late. Yeah, it's a fungicide.
I know what it is now. Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go.
a fungicide wouldn't hurt.
No, probably not. To
apply that on there. Uh-huh. So especially when it's just as moist as it has been and so on. So anyway, watch out for that on your azaleas. We can expect a little stress on the plants as time gets on, as with the heat and all that, because the root system has not really developed. And actually, some people have experienced some loss in the root system, too, on their plants. Mm. Yeah. We dug up some plants this week, some junipers, mm-hmm. and the root system was almost completely rotted away. And just too much moisture. And they were planted in an area that doesn't drain. Mm-hmm. So we replaced them with some new junipers, but we added some soil to this area. So they're mounded up so they have a chance for them to grow. They're not well suited. Look at they grow in Osage County in the rock. Just mm-hmm. beautiful. We go through all this trouble to plant them in the best soil and water them and everything else, and they... Oh. So you want to... try to let them dry out a little bit between. They're just not well suited for wet areas. Let them dry out a little bit too. So that's been some issues with some plants that like the dry. They've been having problems with roots. Mm-hmm. And we have a caller, do we, or not?
Is that somebody else? I believe we do. So okay. I'm going to go ahead and take him. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on the Green Country Gardener program. Your call. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Tom
good morning.
And Larry.
Hey.
Hey, my elephant ears are looking like on the outside of the edges, like they're getting burnt. I was wondering if they're 50-50 sun, but am I doing something that I shouldn't?
That's a tough call. It could be insects eating on the bulb. Perhaps you might dig beside it a little bit and see if some of the bulb has been eaten away. That could be, and it can cause a difficulty with transmission of water up to the leaf. And elephant ears are kind of semi-aquatic, so they do very well in a lot of wet areas. But they do need a little bit of oxygen in the soil, so perhaps the soil is not open enough for them to do very well.
I have them in pots. They're bigger plants that I bought down there from you a couple of months ago.
Okay.
When you got them in.
The plot
so
thickens.
They're in big pots, and I have, but just seems like the outside edge of the leaves are looking burnt.
Okay, now that I know they're
not all of them.
Now that I know they're in big pots, you might want to do what we call a leach on the plants. That's where you water them real good and let it run through, and water them real heavily, and make sure the water runs through and drains out.
Uh-huh.
And when we have burned edges like that on a lot of plants, it's a mineral buildup. Could be fertilizer salts or just minerals from the water building up. So leaching wouldn't hurt at all either on that deal. And make sure in a container, make sure it's well drained. And if you have it in a saucer, you might want to elevate it above that saucer with perhaps some gravel in the saucer so the bottom of the pot doesn't sit in the water between waterings.
Yeah, I'm seeing drainage from the bottom of the plant. I've got them outside, so I guess I'll get a lot of water tonight, won't
we? Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on that, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is July, so. But anyway.
All right, well, thank you very much, and if I have any trouble, I'll come down to the store.
Yeah, that's what I would do, is and also look on the inside edge of the pot and see if there's some brownish and tan-colored buildup on it.
Okay.
All right, very good. Thank you very much.
Good hearing from you. All righty. 8:20 is our time. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We've got more of the Green Country Gardener program coming up after this 2-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. If you call United Rentals strategic sales team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. These are still local people. They will be from the Tulsa Hub. They all know the availability of equipment that can be brought to that branch to take care of your needs. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is your plant headquarters with Bartlesville's largest selection of annuals, perennials, shrubs, and trees. While shopping for outside the home, make it a tropical paradise inside with tropical plants. Green Thumb can custom design your landscape, including installation of sprinkler systems, pavers for walkways and patios, making your yard and backyard the oasis you've always dreamed of. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. Sunday, noon to 5.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Hello, this is Dane Warner. We are producing a film documentary, The Ken Zacher Story. Learn about the story on our Facebook page, End of the Road Productions. We are inviting the public to come meet and honor the people who stood on principles of race relations and the tragedy of a brilliant basketball coach who committed suicide at the age of 36. People are coming from all across the country to share their stories Saturday, July 24th, 1 p.m. at the Nowata Middle School gym. Our mission is compassion and forgiveness, just as Christ has done the same for us.
It's 8:22. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Tom Davis, along with Larry Glass, our expert, and of course your calls at 1-800-749-5936. We were talking with plants with holes in them earlier, but now I think we're probably moving on.
Oh, golly. Yeah, the plant systems are used to a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
And if it ever quits raining and dries out, there's going to be a few problems, some crispy edges on plants and things, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to watch out for that. And The thing is, if you do water your plants, try to let them dry out a little bit between waterings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That way they're not really used to being constantly moist, and they can tolerate, you know, the wet and dry periods a little bit by extending the root system out. Kind of the same thing goes for the people's lawns. It was raining the other day and going up and down the neighborhoods, and sprinkler systems shooting off everywhere. Come on, people. Golly.
Between that and folks mowing in the rain.
Yeah, yeah, mowing in the rain. But anyway.
I've done that before. It's make a song losing out of proposition.
You can make a song out of that. Mowing in the rain.
Yeah.
But anyway. So we have, with all the wetness coming on and with the rain, this rain is going to be very welcome because it is getting a little on the dry side. But my grass hasn't browned out yet. It did brown out before that last storm. But it's just beginning to now. So this, the timing's just right. I have to get home and mow it. Maybe sometime today between appointments, because I won't be able to mow it on Sunday. And anyways, so you can expect a little bit of stress on your plants. It's also that time of year to divide your iris. Iris plants, iris are very long time favorite for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they bloom typically once in a year, but I do have some twice bloomers. But over time, they develop rhizomes. And these rhizomes grow and they divide. And Bermuda grass has rhizomes on it, too. So it's kind of the same thing, only in slow motion, if you will.
Okay. It's not going to all of a sudden, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's getting time to divide those. And I've got a bunch I got to divide up, including some fall blooming. The fall blooming iris are beautiful last fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to see these traditional spring blooming plants blooming in the fall. So anyway, they did a good job this spring too. So it's time to divide those also. Also on your tomato plants, you want to trim up those lower leaves, those disease leaves on the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to get the bacterial spot on them. Wow. I grow mine in pots, so they're already up above the ground.
Got it.
But anyway, so you do want to watch that on your tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And if you do have yellow leaves on your tomatoes, you just want to pick them off. It's not going to be using them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it just encourages fungus and bacterial diseases on your leaves, so you want to get those out of there. Watch for mites and white flies on your tomatoes also.
Got it.
Last year I had a white fly outbreak on my tomatoes and kind of ruined them, so this year I'm going to use the neem oil to keep them under control, and you have to be consistent with that because it's interesting how it works, but anyway, it does work pretty good. The dogwoods also are beginning to produce blooms for the spring, the very beginning of that. They really stop their growth, and you can see on the very tips, there's this little, tiny little point on the tip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll differentiate into a flower blossom pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's too late to prune them back, so don't do that. Also, the azaleas are starting to make blooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the saucer magnolias have also beginning to set their blooms, too. All this happens after the summer solstice. It's the days begin to get noticeably short, at least to the plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they say, oh, here it comes. We better get ready.
Good boy.
Get ready. Here comes winter. So, and it does take a while for the flower buds to form on the on the plants. So that'll happen. So that's happening right now. The crepe myrtles are starting to show some blooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a house where they had one, a real tiny one that got killed off. And it was so tall, covered in blooms.
Mm.
I said, wow, you're doing pretty good on this one.
Yeah.
I said, it was 8 feet tall last year.
Oh.
It's just not even knee high this year, but it was just covered in blooms.
Yeah,
so.
Looking good though.
So the crepe myrtles are just now starting to show some color.
Good.
So mine in the front isn't yet. Always the last one to get the flowers. Anyway, it will eventually.
It's shy.
And of course, the azaleas, like I said earlier, they're beginning to produce blooms for this year also. Mm-hmm. We have, at the nursery, we've got a lot of perennials for sale right now. And a lot of butterfly plants. We see a lot of monarch butterflies visiting the nursery. And we have a great selection of butterfly weed at this point. Asclepias is the name of it. They have pretty orange flowers on it. And they're used primarily for the butterflies to produce their larvae on it, the eggs to hatch and the larvae grow and live on these plants. We've had some people get completely stripped and all that. And we've had people come in, I had this great big old worm on my plant. I killed it. What can I use to spray? I said, did it look like this? She said, yes, that's a monarch butterfly. And I thought the floor fell through. She was so upset.
Oh, I bet she was, yeah.
That sprayed those. So anyway, so you really got to watch them. And the monarch butterfly larvae has these lateral stripes on it of the yellow and black and white, yellow, mm-hmm. black and white. Lateral stripes on it, so you can tell which it is right there. And they go after milkweed plants and mustard plants too. And some of the wild ones too, they'll be in the wildflowers too. And now and then they'll wander off into something that you don't expect.
Oh, look, a monarch, and
so
at least expect
you need
the
to
location.
Educate yourself on what they look like and try not to kill the monarch butterflies or larvae.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've been visited heavily with those at the nursery, and people are kind of impressed to see them. So that's kind of fun too. The hardy hibiscus. That's easy for you to say, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Hibiscus are starting to get in full bloom right now. So, golly, summer is on its way. So, let's hear, actually. The endless summers are showing some color. And actually, we've had a good crop of bobo hydrangeas this year.
Mm.
Exhibiting some really good color, not only at the nursery, but in people's gardens. The bobo hydrangea is a summer-blooming hydrangea.
Ah.
And they have lots of white flowers on them. And we've had some in the ground for years at some people's places. And just put on a show every year for a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of bloom at the peak of the oak leaf hydrangea bloom show. And then they just keep blooming until then, until the fall.
Wow.
Really nice plants.
Boy, keeps it going.
There are some parallels to that too. So
there are? Okay.
Yeah, it's a type of hydrangea that does very well in the summertime too. So that's kind of what's going on color-wise at the nursery and butterfly-wise too. So.
All right. We're going to have more coming up in just a moment after this two-minute timeout.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Peter's True Value in Dewey is the place you need to go to get some outstanding buys. Summer means backyard grilling, and Peter's has the Weber Smokey Joe Portable Grill for $37.99. Want a grill that's a bit bigger? Peter's also has the Weber Original Grill for $99. And while you're camping, boating, or just relaxing at home, keep your drinks and picnic foods fresh and cool with the Igloo Latitude 60-quart rolling cooler for $42.99. But only at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
68 million Americans are putting their family's financial future at risk by not having enough life insurance. David Woods, president of the Life Foundation.
If something happens to the breadwinner, who's going to pay the mortgage? Who's going to send the kids to college? Who's going to buy the clothes, put food on the table? The consequences can be devastating if you don't have life insurance.
Life insurance costs are at their lowest point ever.
Life insurance isn't a luxury, it's a necessity.
A message from the nonprofit Life Foundation.
Live, loud, local, and apparently lovable.
I can't say enough great things.
Locally sourced news, weather, and sports. I'm Tom Davis. I'll have your news headlines. Phil Weaver lets you know what's going on in the community. Local sports with Evan Farbach. And weather updates with KOTV News on 6 meteorologist Alan Crow. K1 Morning News.
I love it. I love it.
The one you trust at AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:32, and you can get a hold of Larry Glass, our expert extraordinaire, at 1-800-749-5936. What's next on our agenda as we head to the great outdoors?
Oh, golly, perennials, so I need to look out for now. Coneflowers are starting to come into bloom.
There you go.
And we have some pretty wild-looking coneflowers.
You don't say.
Yeah. Different colors and shapes and all that.
There you go.
So they're kind of fun, too, in the landscape, and they do very well here.
Mm-hmm. They should.
They should.
It's the state flower.
Yeah. They, they are genetically engineered to work in our climate, so they do very well in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the same old purple coneflowers. They have different colors right now. They have some red ones that are really attractive right now. The breeders have had some good fun with these particular ones. And one of them has this kind of frilly top on it, kind of bachelor button-like top. It's kind of interesting-looking flower, so they're fun. And they're so easy to grow, and they do tend to spread and multiply. So give them lots of room. But I like to use them in the landscape, say in the back somewhere. Not necessarily a solid row, but a group here and a group there and a group there. And 3 years, then they'll be a solid row. But they're very easy to grow in the landscape. They divide real well, and they're just virtually bulletproof plants. Mm. So even though it's been wet like it is, the comb flowers are doing quite well. So anyway, the hostas also are in bloom right now. The hostas are those big leaf perennials that like the shade, and they're exhibiting flowers at this point. And they do very well here, actually.
They do.
Yeah, but they do need some soil preparation before they're planted.
Work the dirt.
And the thing is, people like to associate this with azaleas.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a totally contrary soil requirement, the hostas and the azaleas. These azaleas are ericaceous. They're like a low pH soil. And the hostas they have a higher pH mm-hmm. requirement. So you'll have nice azaleas and little bitty leaves on your head, on your hostas, or big leaves on your hostas and little bitty leaves on your azaleas. So when designing a landscape with azaleas and hostas, mm-hmm. you put them in groups, separate groups here and there.
Okay.
Yeah. Say put the hostas way in front of them. The azaleas, I can't leave her out and cover over them anyway, so they look like they're close together. Initially, they look like they're a little far apart, but then when the azaleas branch out.
There you go. Narrows the gap.
Yeah. You don't want to plant them too close because you got to keep in mind how big these plants are going to get. So anyway, so... And Japanese maples, people kind of use these three plants together. Mm-hmm. Color and texture contrast is really nice. So anyway, the hostas are in bloom right now. And we got a caller?
I believe so. Your phone lines are 1-800-749-5936. And that'll get you through to the Green Country Gardener program right here on your favorite radio station. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry. What can we do for you?
Yes, I have knockout roses in the front of my house, and they have this year not done well at all, and they're starting to get really woody and dead, a lot of dead on them.
Mm.
Is there any way to salvage those, or should we just have them pulled out and get some new ones?
Down close to the ground, is there any favorable-looking branches or leaves down close to the bottom?
I don't think so.
Okay. Typically,
they just look like, you know, they just look like all around the edge, they're getting really dead looking.
Right. Yeah, the knockout roses.
And they didn't bloom well this year.
Right. They really suffered this last year from the cold. And that'll get a stem disease inside of them. And I think that's kind of what's happening to some of them. Yeah, I do have plans tomorrow to cut some of mine down really low tomorrow, but I think the weather guy here is going to put a cancel on that. But anyway,
do you think if we cut them down, do you think they'd go ahead and grow next year? Or
they probably will. That's why I say look real close to the ground and see if there's any green leaves or it'd be red leaves, and it'll probably recover. Okay.
It'll probably what?
Recover from the winter if you just cut them back.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I just, you know, they've just been beautiful all these years that they've been in.
Yeah.
And this year they just looked awful.
But between the rosette disease and extreme cold, it's been pretty hard on them. And I haven't really seen a lot of rosette disease this year on them yet, so... my recommendation...
Well, I don't see disease on it. Yeah. You know, I've kind of looked at the leaves and stuff, and I don't see the disease, any kind of disease. I just think they just didn't do well. I don't know. They were getting really woody, you know, getting a lot of dead limbs.
Yeah, keep this in mind. If you have a lot of dead leaves on there, that'll just harbor and encourage the diseases to grow. So you do want to just cut that out.
Okay. All right. Well, we will try that and see what happens. Thank you for your information.
All right. Very good. Thank you for calling.
Have a good day.
Mm-hmm. All right. And good luck to you on that, too. 8:38, and of course you can get on the air too and ask away with your questions of Larry at 1-800-749-5936.
Well, August is actually a good time to cut them back.
Oh, really?
Usually by this time of the year they're all big and leggy and ugly and all that. So if you cut them back at this point or between now and say the middle of August, they'll grow and then they'll have a good flush in the fall, and then in the spring they'll really bloom nicely because you don't have to cut them back. You did it in August.
I was always doing that at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, then you don't have any flowers. But yeah, so cut them back. Usually the end of July or August, you can really cut them back. But in this case, and I see a lot of knockouts that are in the same position this one is.
Kind of puny.
They just got damaged so much by the cold.
Yeah.
And if you were to cut them back, they would more likely they'll start to branch out and grow. And then when the fall flush comes on, you'll have some pretty flowers on. And then in the spring, they'll really put on a really big shoe.
How low do you go when you do it here in the summertime?
How low can you go? I would go probably 6 inches above the ground.
All right.
Now, the knockout rose is a Floribunda rose, and it's also, they're not grafted. They're continuous from top to bottom.
Mm.
So because of that, and traditionally it's been difficult to cut roses back really far all at once because the rootstock a lot of times will come out and grow and take over.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the rootstock that is on roses is a wild rose, if you will. And it grows about 4 inches in 2 days. You know, it really grows fast. And then you have one or two blooms in the spring, and that's it. They do that because the wilder roses have a more aggressive root system.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes for bigger blooms and more of them on the top part. That's not true with the knockout. It's just true to form from ground to top to ground. They're not grafted.
I'll be darned.
So don't be afraid to really cut them back far, because whatever comes up from the ground will be the knockout rose.
Got it.
At this point in time, though, what you need to do is probably fertilize them a little bit also, and make sure the water levels are good. Try to keep the weeds away from it. Cut it back. Mm-hmm. Let it dry out a little bit in between rains. the forecast next week, Wednesday, is supposed to rain. What?
20%
chance.
Yeah,
I'll get 2 days if I get some work done this week. Thank you very much. You guys are really nice. It'll take all day Monday to dry out.
We're here to help.
So that gives me 2 days. Yeah, a Tuesday to do anything.
Yeah.
So anyway, you do want to rake up any loose debris and leaves around the roses and try to let them dry
out. Got it.
So anyway, daylilies are kind of past their blooming, but the Stella Doro daylily, they're still showing some color. And a lot of people say, well, my Stella Doro just doesn't want to bloom anymore.
Don't want to.
It's too crowded.
Ain't got to do it.
Too crowded. They need to be divided. And you do that typically in February.
Mm-hmm.
Not like iris where you do it right now. You have to do them a little earlier. So.
Got it.
So if your Stella Doros are just kind of lost their Stella,
they ain't adorable anymore.
It's time to divide them. So, so you got a caller?
I do believe we do.
All right.
Hi. Good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. Your question for Larry.
Tom, Larry. Larry, I've got some all the Japanese forest grass.
Yes, uh-huh.
It's a new implementation to a flower bed that I've got.
Right.
And I was curious if there's anything that, other than it, they like shade, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything I can add to or take away from the soil? We've got kind of a clay soil, but I did use an organic soil and peat moss.
Yes.
But they're looking a little scraggly right now, and I don't know if that's just from, I don't know what it's from, so.
Okay, heavy soil is the biggest enemy of the forest grass.
Okay.
So you want to ensure, you should be able to just about reach your hand and pull out the soil.
Right.
For them to, they do not tolerate clay whatsoever.
Okay. All right.
So,
peat won't hurt them.
Peat moss said the pH might be a little low for them on that, and that can
cause. How do I bring that back up?
A little bit of ag lime, not much. Just a little bit of agricultural lime will stabilize that a little bit. It didn't take a whole lot really, because the pH is about 5.5. It's not that far off, but it's far enough to where some plants just don't do well. So our primary recommendation is just use the compost.
Sure.
And,
well, they've only been in the ground. They've only been in the ground about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So they're still in a transition period, I guess.
Right.
But So I was just,
yeah.
I was just curious about that.
Yeah, very, very organic soil, very friable and loose and all that. And mulch them over too to try to keep the temperature fairly constant. And the moisture levels fairly constant too.
Fair enough. Well, I've got about 3 inches of 3 inches of mulch on top of them.
Oh, that's enough. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Also look for sow bugs and other insects like that too that might be causing some issues.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, I appreciate that.
All right. So very good.
Gives me a direction anyway. Thank you.
Yeah, usually when we plant those in the landscape, we use just copious amounts of compost, and they do very well.
All right, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll have more coming up with the Green Country Gardener Program after these words and this two-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is your plant headquarters with Bartlesville's largest selection of annuals, perennials, shrubs, and trees. While shopping for outside the home, make it a tropical paradise inside with tropical plants. Green Thumb can custom design your landscape, including installation of sprinkler systems, pavers for walkways and patios, making your yard and backyard the oasis you've always dreamed of. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. Sunday, noon to 5.
Drive home informed on K1. The one you trust. News, weather, sports, and markets with Garrett Giles, Max Gross, and Ty Lawless. K1. The one you trust at AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. Drive home informed.
After work, I love it.
K1, the one you trust.
Hi, I'm Todd Starnes, host of the Todd Starnes Show. I hope you join me weekdays at 1 o'clock right here on K1, the one you trust at AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Tune in for an honest conversation and, of course, my commentaries on the events of the world around us. Fresh, honest, and unafraid, it's the Todd Starnes Show with me, Todd Starnes. Weekdays at 1 on K1, the one you trust.
Thank you for starting your day with K1 Morning News.
Today is gonna be a good day.
Keep going what you're doing. You're the best on radio.
I respect you guys. You guys are always top of your class.
Today is gonna be a good day.
K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
A good day.
And online at BartlesvilleRadio.com.
Yeah. It's 8:46. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Tom Davis. He's Larry Glass. He has all the answers, but if you have a question, you can always contact the both of us here, toll-free at 1-800-749-5936. What you got there, Larry?
Yes, speaking of raisins.
Yeah.
My prune trees. Plum trees did very well this year.
Plum Delicious, I understand.
2021 is a good vintage year for the plum jelly.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, it talks back to you. It's good. it turned out really good this year.
Plum Delicious.
Yeah, thanks to the new oil and the spinosad to keep the bugs away.
And keeping that hail away from you, too.
I know. This year, this is crazy. The earliest year I had, the best year before that was 2018.
Yeah.
So it's been 3 years. So... Yeah. 66 jars of jelly.
There you go. That's great. That's
you know how long it's going to take me to eat that? I haven't eaten up 2018s yet.
It'll be but down in the vintage, you know. Down
They'll be giving it away at the funeral home.
All right, Larry's plums.
Here you go. There's his legacy. Here, have one. Anyway, okay. Sedums.
Thanks for showing up. See you in heaven.
Sedums tolerate heat very well.
Uh-huh.
And will thrive in unirrigated gardens. So we have various types of sedums and the succulent plants.
Oh, yeah.
Do quite well. And the important thing with them is make sure not to water them too much.
No.
And don't prepare the soil too much. But just don't put them in clay.
They don't like that?
Yeah, you might get a bunch of sand, too, while you're at it. Yeah. Mix it in with the soil just so it stays kind of loose and porous.
Sure.
And don't use mason sand. It's real fine. Mm-hmm. And it'll actually bind it together.
You need some grainy stuff.
You want to use the coarse sand. We have some coarse sand. And I use it to mix concrete for landscape projects and ground prep when we need it. There are some times when you run into this yellow and gray clay.
And you need that sand.
That you need to make some good soil out of it. You know, that'll just get the bobcat and dig it out and put new in. So anyway.
You can make a little side living there renting out your bobcat.
If I can keep it running. But anyway, sedums and succulents, if you want to do a garden that's what we call xerographic. Mm-hmm. That is thriving in the dry areas. That would be the one of the primary species. That and coneflowers that I would consider planting in a situation like that. And that is possible, and to do that in here. If you have a hill, for instance, I wouldn't do a xerographic garden on a flat place because they do need some drainage.
Okay.
So you might get some stones and boulders and things and build up the soil so where it drains away. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a natural look to it. It'd be kind of pretty, though. Anyway, so if you want a garden like that, we've got the plants for that too at the nursery, too. On the other side, drip irrigation is probably one of the more efficient ways to use your water. Typically, on a drip system, the water is applied very specifically. And because of that, you don't waste a lot of water.
Good.
So, and the drip systems are pretty easy to use. Typically, when we do one, we do either a 1-inch or a 1/2-inch header pipe, which you run along the house. Mm-hmm. And you drill a hole in the pipe where you want to put your connectors and snap them in. And run a 1/4-inch spaghetti line out to the particular plant, and have a little spray head come out. And some of them we use a mist irrigation too. It's an efficient way to do that because it waters real slowly, and it doesn't run off and run out to the street that way.
Better absorption, works for everybody.
So a drip system is good. It's also good for hanging baskets. Mm. And all my plants, my pots at home, are done on a drip system. So it works quite well. I don't have to water them. They just color all the time, and it's just automatically watered. They have all these gizmos you put on your hose that you can set a time for it to water, and it just takes care of it.
Set it, forget it.
Set it, and
forget it.
Yeah, so anyway, it works really well. So a drip irrigation system in the garden is an efficient way to do it. And on the other end of irrigation, you want to look at your sprinkler heads while they're running. And look at the stream coming out.
Don't get too close.
Oh, it feels good on a hot day.
I bet it does.
But anyway, and one of my guys yesterday was really sweating, just hot. And I was watering in some grass, and I just sprayed him with water. He goes, oh, thank you. But anyway, look at your sprinkler system and look at the stream coming out of the heads and see if there's a lot of mist coming out. I see this an awful lot. Where there's too much water pressure.
Oh.
And it can cause a lot of evaporative loss. Say you're spraying some spray paint. You always get some of it on the thing you're spraying, and some of it just goes into the atmosphere. So you want to try to limit that, and you want to try to cater to the water pressure to the requirements of the particular sprinkler head. So you don't waste so much water with the aerosol, if you will. It's called aerosol.
All right. Let's go. We got another call. Good. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. Your question or comment?
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm growing zucchini for the first time here in Oklahoma, and the plants started out looking fantastic, nice and tall and lush and green. And just in the last 2 weeks, the leaves have started wilting. I noticed that the stalks are hollow and soft, and where the root is along the ground, it's all mushy, and there's like little, almost like fruit flies flying around. And is that, someone told me that there's a borer insect that can really destroy zucchini plants. And I'm wondering if that's what it is, and if it is, what can I do about it?
That's what it sounds like to me, borers. And BT will work, Bacillus thuringiensis. It's a good organic way to do it. And it's a fungus disease that the insect gets in the larval stage.
Okay.
And it's called BT or dipel or thuricide. And it's very effective against the larval stage of insects.
And do you think that it can save the plant still, or is it too late?
At this point in time, from what you're describing, it might be difficult to save the plants.
Okay. And if I want to plant them again next year, should I pre-treat the ground with that before I plant them?
Well, BT is a contact insecticide, so you do just don't worry about treating the ground, but you do want to spray it occasionally. Just so when they casually crawl around, they eat this stuff and it kills them. Another one is Captain Jack's dead bug, which is spinosad, and a lot of the organics like to use it. We're getting to where this is about all you can really use on these things, anyways. Organic stuff, and I prefer to use organics on vegetable crops too.
Yeah,
and the dead bug works very well to do that. And neem oil is another one. It's a life cycle interrupter, and it stops the metamorphosis process on insects.
Okay.
As well as smother them out. But an insect that actually crawls into the stem itself, you might want to go ahead, as you plant them in the spring, put the BT on there. So as the insect finds the plant, he'll eat that too, and it'll paralyze the stomach.
Okay. Very good. I think I'll do that then. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All righty. And we're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more after this two-minute timeout.
In 1939, James Farley, the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee and Franklin Roosevelt's Postmaster General, traveled to Bartlesville, Oklahoma to meet with Frank Phillips. This was a special meeting, and for Frank, a bit different. As Farley did not come to visit about oil or banking, he had another purpose. He came to Bartlesville to try to convince Mr. Phillips to buy the New York Yankees baseball team. The former owner had died in 1939, and Farley and others felt that Frank had the resources necessary to buy the ball club. Already a wonderful dynasty with such greats as Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig leading the way, the Yankees were known worldwide and would certainly provide great personal and professional exposure to Frank and to Phillips Petroleum. After much consideration, Frank decided not to buy the Yankees, and despite their continued success, he never regretted that decision. As he told his friends, "I just couldn't buy them. I've always been a National League man." Come enjoy the magic of Willow Rock. And welcome home to Willow Rock.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny skyscraper.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Bartlesville's News Talk, K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
Yay, we're back on with the Green Country Gardener program. It is 8:56. Phone lines open at 1-800-749-5936. What you got for us, Larry?
Our tree of the week is the Emerald Arborvitae.
Yeah.
The Emerald Arborvitae, or Thuja occidentalis emerald, is a small tree or tall evergreen shrub.
Mm-hmm.
And it's well suited, say, for a loose border or a corner planting mm-hmm. the house or something like that. People will plant these in a row to create a screen, but it takes a lot of them to do it because they don't get that wide.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, this one does really quite well around here because it tolerates our variety of soil and conditions and weather mm-hmm. changes too. So you might consider using the Emerald Arborvitae as an accent plant or corner planting or something. Just keep it, say, 5 feet away from the house at least. That's about this far.
Yeah.
They get 4 feet wide or so.
Mm-hmm.
They get fairly tall, too, so keep in mind what's going on up above so it doesn't hit the soffit of the house and all that, too.
That and wires.
So just make sure when you pick out a plant to put, say, in the corner of the house or next to the house, look up the specifications and see how big it is.
How big it's going to be.
And then that way it'll tell you about how far away from the house to put it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the Emerald Arborvitae can be pruned early in the season prior to new growth. Uh-huh. However, it's not needed very much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good one to have. It does get the bagworms, mm-hmm. so you have to watch out for that. But because of that, despite that, it's a very easy to grow plant. Mm-hmm. Now, back when it was 115 degrees at one time, you weren't here when that happened. It was so hot, the roof of my house melted. I had to replace it.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, these, they all died. And that was a very rare happening anyway. There wasn't any wind. The sun was hot. And, you think they're getting it hot in Vegas. It's like that here. 115 is pretty hot. And the sap boiled in them. Mm-hmm. That's what killed it. The boiling point is really low on that, apparently. And it broke all the cell walls and everything else. And the connective tissue was killed off. So that's the main reason why people really haven't been much interested. But there's an increasing interest in the emerald arborvitae. There's a parallel to that, too. The Groot Spire arborvitae is kind of a dwarf version of that. And it's a little coarser in texture and not as fluffy and green as the emerald. But it shares the same vertical characteristic. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, golly, come by the nursery. We have these plants and lots of others and all kinds of specimen plants, Japanese maples, azaleas and things, perennials and annuals to look at. So if you missed out planting the annuals, we still have some sitting around over there at the nursery. And by all means, if you want me to come out to the house, I can come out and look at your yard and maybe give you some ideas of what you can possibly do to improve the yard. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily work up a landscape scheme, but just kind of do a walk around and see what's going on with the landscape. We offer that as a service at no charge right now.
Hey.
So anyway, come on by and check it out. And by all means, keep your shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
Thank you, Larry. We've got news coming up next. Folks, have yourself a great weekend.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.